Good morning. This meeting of the Rules Committee for June 7th is called to order, and I will note for the committee record that there is a quorum present. I would ask our committee staff, I think that there was also a link to the Teams that went out with the calendar invite. So I saw that Representative Engen was just trying to log into Teams. Maybe if somebody could send Representative Engen the Zoom invite as well, that would be great. The remote hearing this morning is taking place in accordance to House Rule 10.01, and we are live streaming it by House Public Information Office. And our first order of business is approval of the minutes for Friday, May 19th, and Saturday, May 20th. Representative Hollins, would you care to move the minutes?
Yes, Chair Long. I have reviewed the minutes, and I move their approval.
Thank you so much. Any discussion to the minutes? And folks can just raise their hand on Zoom if you want me to call on you. Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. So members, we are going through a series of resolutions this morning on compensation and some of our procedural motions that we need to take care of, administrative motions. And so the first one that we have up is 2023 R2A resolution on leadership compensation. Ms. Julek, would you
share? Mr. Chair and members, Barb Julek, House Controller. The House resolution R2A would add two member leadership positions to the leadership compensation, adding the House Majority Whip and the House Assistant Minority Leader to receive up to the 140% compensation as leaders. That was adopted in the recently enacted state government bill.
Okay, questions to this resolution? Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to be noted that since this resolution and the next one affect me directly, I will not be voting on either one of those. I'm not requesting a roll call, but I would like to be noted in the record that I am recusing myself from the vote on 2A and 3A.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Any further discussion to the resolution? I don't see any additional hands, so I will ask for the roll, and we won't be doing a roll call, but we'll do voice vote. So folks would unmute. All those in favor of the R2A resolution, please say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No.
The resolution is adopted. Next, we have the R3A resolution on expense reimbursement. Ms. Julek, would you please explain the R3A?
Mr. Chair and members, there are two changes in the R3A. The first change is on page 1, line 12, again, adding those two leadership positions in regards to housing, that to the extent these positions are outstate members, they would not be limited in their housing by the two-year $39,600, but only limited by the $2,200 a month. So basically, year-round housing for those two positions would be added. The second change is on page 4. Line 12, this would amend per diem for session per diem from $66 to $86. And again, since this policy covers, or this resolution covers the entirety of the 93rd legislative session, it would be retroactive to January 3rd, 2023. Sorry.
Thank you. And Ms. Julek, the $86 is the current per diem for the Senate. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Any further questions on the R3A? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You know, I'm concerned about this. I realize I'm new to the Rules Committee, so maybe this is standard procedure, but I find it concerning that we're raising per diem. Once we're out of session, the public's not paying attention. It's retroactive. I don't know why this wasn't done earlier in the session, so I'd like you to address that, please.
Sure. Representative Robbins, we needed to appropriate the money before we were able to do that. So we had to wait until the state government finance bill passed in order for us to raise this. But there was a question that came up in one of our previous rules meetings on member salary very early in session, and I indicated our intent to match the Senate on their per diem. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And also, I'm again, maybe because I'm new to the committee, but I don't know why we don't have any, again, these are resolutions, but there's no fiscal impact notes or anything. Like, I'm concerned about the timing of this. We've known all along that you were going to be proposing this, and we're doing it at a meeting that was called, and we didn't get the documents till late last night. I'm very concerned about how this is all going out, and I feel like this is something the public pays attention to. The public would want to know this, and I have to say it's concerning. So is there any way we can account for the cost of this? Do we know what the fiscal impact of this will be?
Thank you for the question, Representative Robbins. So as I mentioned, this was accounted for in the state government finance bill. Ms. Julek, do you happen to know if we have a breakdown of the specific costs for the per diem?
Yeah, so on, Mr. Chair, members, on a, one second here. I do. In a long year, it'll be about $350,000 because of the earlier start. And on a shorter year, around $270,000.
Thank you, Ms. Julek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Julek. I would love you to send me whatever document you're looking at so I could also take a look at that. Thank you.
Leader Damuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a couple of points of note, and then I would like to request a roll call on this particular vote.
Roll call has been requested and will be granted.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As far as the timing and the concern that we are doing this on the 7th of the 7th of June, I had reached out to you and just asked, because this is fully remote, I had asked the question, what would be urgent or pressing in the situation that would require an entirely remote vote or entirely remote hearing for us to come together for rules for these purposes? I understand the timing, but I just want to raise that concern that it does appear to be a little bit less transparent. Yes, we've had the conversations, but receiving the documents for this hearing after 10 p.m. last night in order to come forward, review them, and then take a vote on it is concerning, and I don't think it lends to full transparency. So I just wanted to make note of that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Leader Damuth. Yes, and as I replied, the reason that we are doing it fully remote is that we have some pressing timelines to be able to make sure that the new pay structures are implemented by July 1st when the new fiscal year comes around. And apologies for the documents not getting out sooner. We have been trying very hard to align with the Senate on the pay raises and for staff that they are proposing. And we had some staff who were out in the Senate and they didn't get their meetings coordinated until late yesterday. And so we were scrambling to try to make sure we were fully aligned. But the changes we made were not that big compared to some of the previous proposals that we'd been discussing. But apologies that we weren't able to get it to you sooner. The per diem amount that we're voting on now, as I mentioned, was something that I made public and discussed early in session. So this is not new information. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I was just wondering, you know, I've been on rules for about a decade, and I don't recall any time where we've done a retroactive per diem change. We typically talk about per diem, any changes, either up or down in January when we start session. It's usually one of our first things that we kind of line up. And I'm wondering, I know you haven't been here as long as I have, but is there any, do you have any historical information as to when we've done something like this, where we wait all the way till June to actually change the per diem rate. I've not experienced that myself in the over a decade of being on rules. Do you have any historical information about that, Mr. Chair?
Thank you for the question, Representative O'Neill. So the as I mentioned, I did make it clear the intent to do that early in session. So that was something that I know members could plan around. And this is intended to match the Senate per diem. Certainly don't believe that the Senate is worth $20 more a day for the work that they do on behalf of our state. In terms of whether or not this has been done retroactively in the past, I don't know the answer, but I will call a friend and see if Ms. Julek has any institutional knowledge on that. I'm seeing a head shake. So, no, sorry, I don't have an institutional answer for you on that. Representative O'Neill, did you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, I would just note that the Senate per diem is taxed, and so the net is very similar to what we get because the $66 that the House gets is untaxed. So I know that I don't know if that was a conversation that had been had, but I think that's an important distinction as to, I don't know why theirs is taxed. I don't understand that. I just know that it is, but I just want to get that on the public record that there was a reason for that. And I know back in, I want to say 11, 12, somewhere in that time frame, per diem was reduced. It was, especially in the House, it was higher. So it would have been nice to have that historical information here. I was staff at the Senate when that was happening, so I wasn't a member, but I think the historical perspective would be important. You know, I don't know what the highest per diem that we've ever had is, but I know that we reduced it down to 66 from a higher amount, but any information would be helpful, I think, and important for transparency.
Sure. Representative O'Neill, I think you may be thinking about the housing allowance, but maybe I'll ask in terms of the taxation issue, because I don't believe the per diem is taxed in the Senate either. But I'll turn to Ms. Julek for a more specific answer.
Mr. Chair, members, per diem is taxed in the Senate, and it's in the House. It relates to where you live. So per the federal government, if you live in the metro area, it's considered an income, so it's taxed. If you live outside 50 miles, it's considered a per diem, so it's not taxed unless you exceed the federal maximum. So that's a 162H issue. How the Senate deals with their 162H is taxing per diem right from the get-go, but allowing year-round housing and tracking that differently. So it's really how each member hits their federal allowed housing and per diem that will trigger a per diem tax in the House for outstate members. So it's quite nuanced.
Thank you, Ms. Julek. That's a much clearer answer than I gave. Representative O'Neill, I see your hand still up. Did you have a follow-up?
No, I'm glad that Ms. Julek was able to distinguish that, because I literally just shouted to a senator in the room and he said, yep, we are taxed. I'm glad you get it on the record. So I would be opposed to increasing the per diem. I guess I would ask you, Mr. Chair, my last question is, why do we feel the need that we need to increase it from 66 to 86 for the per diem? And what is it, you know, do we have members that are saying that this doesn't cover expenses, or what's happening exactly? Why are we increasing this? I hope there's a better answer than just we want to match the Senate, because that's not really a good answer, especially after theirs is taxed.
Well, thank you, Representative O'Neill. I think it is a good answer to say we want to match the Senate. I do believe that we are not worth less than the Senate. The Senate in the past has outstripped us in terms of both member compensation and staff compensation, and that's something we're looking to end. We want to be consistent with the Senate in both member and staff compensation. We also have heard from the Compensation Council that it is very difficult for them to set salaries when there are different per diem rates across the two bodies, because they're setting consistent salaries for the House and the Senate, and having two different per diem rates that they're taking into account makes it challenging for them. Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as Vice Chair of State Government Finance, I wanted really to stand up on what you were saying, Chair, that this was heard in the omnibus bill and that it did have a fair discussion. And so and we passed that bill through pretty rapidly. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt, for knowing that. Yes, this was in the State Government Finance Bill, as I mentioned, and the budget item was heard in your committee. So I appreciate you acknowledging that. I'm not seeing further hands for discussion, but I'll just pause and make sure we don't have any others. Representative Engen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say I think that this is egregious. The fact that we're sitting here and Minnesotans are actually struggling, they don't get to retroactively increase their pay. I don't think that we should be participating in that. I think it's very self-centered, and I'm going to be opposing this.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Engen. Not seeing other hands, we will take the roll on the resolution.
Chair Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Vice Chair Hollins?
Abstain.
Hollins abstain. Leader Damuth?
No.
Damuth, no. Representative Engen?
No.
Engen, no. Representative Howard?
Aye.
Howard, aye. Representative Hewitt?
Aye.
Hewitt, aye. Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Jordan, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Moeller, aye. Representative Nash?
No.
No, Nash. Representative Olson? Representative Olson?
Oh.
Sorry, I weren't quite able to hear you.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Thank you. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski, aye.
Pulowski, aye. Representative Robbins?
No.
Robbins, no. Representative Torkelson?
Abstain.
Torkelson abstaining, and Representative Wolgamott is excused for the day. Mr. Chair, there are 8 ayes and 5 nays and 2 abstains.
With 8 ayes, 5 nays, and 2 abstain, the resolution is adopted. Next resolution on our agenda is the R10A, Resolution on Administration of Education Programs. Ms. Julek, this is you as well?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
If you could please present this resolution to us.
Mr. Chair and members, the R10A is an amendment to a previously adopted resolution that matches the budget that was recently adopted that would allow stipends for interns to increase from $50 to $75. This would be effective for next year's session.
Any discussion to the R10A? Seeing none, all those in favor of the R10A, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The R10A is approved. Next, we have the 2023 P3G policy on compensatory time, non-exempt overtime, and time card policy. Ms. Knight, if you would please present the P3G.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Kelly Knight, the Director of HR for the House. The 2023 P3G resolution, it's simply a technical change. On page 2, lines 21 and 24, we are excluding the student research assistants from the summer hours. This is consistent with the policy in the past. And unfortunately, when we were making previous changes, this language did not get inserted.
Great. Thank you. Any discussion or questions to the resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The resolution is adopted. The next resolution on our agenda is the 2023 R22 resolution on cash out. Ms. Knight, if you could please present the R22.
Mr. Chair and members, the R22 resolution on cash out allows regular employees to cash out up to 40 hours of their accrued vacation, non-exempt overtime, and or compensatory time during a calendar year. They may do this, as 20 hours and 20 hours, or they may do it all as 40. There's no, or they may do less than 40.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. Any questions or discussion? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you explain to me what the current cash out policy is so that we understand how the change is, different from the current policy that we have?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, the House does not currently have a cash out policy.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Knight. So is there any estimate of what this will cost?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, I think I'm going to look to Ms. Julek for that.
Okay, Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, Representative Robbins, my estimate that I put into the budget was about $340,000 a year. This was part of the compensation that was presented in the budget for staff, was a along with the next resolution, the total compensation package that was presented as part of the House budget included a cash out option, as well as across the board increases in merits.
Well, this was presented in State Government Finance in the budget. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Julek. So just, I know someone referenced there had been an NCLS comparative study with how we rate with other legislatures around the country. Do other legislatures allow this cash out policy?
So that's a good question. I don't know. This year, the compensation comparison that we did was not through NCSL. We did a comparison in-state, looking at other comparable positions in the executive branch and at state and local governments as the closest comparisons. We were, for staff, significantly under other comparable options in the executive branch and state and local government, which was one of the reasons that we looked to make sure we were trying to get up to parity. I know at least on our staff, we've seen significant attrition to the executive branch and to local governments as well. But I don't know if Ms. Julek or Ms. Knight from the previous NCSL study, if we have any indication on other states.
Mr. Chair and Representative Robbins, that was not something that we've asked NCSL to look into in the past, so I don't have information on that.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Further discussion to the resolution? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the R22 resolution, please say aye.
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 The resolution is adopted. And our final resolution for this hearing is the 2023 R15 resolution on compensation of House employees. I think this will be a joint presentation, but we'll begin with Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, the R15 resolution addresses compensation of House employees. And beginning on line 8, effective July 1, as Chair Long has mentioned, our goal is to get first align with that of the Senate and bring our ranges up so that they're equal to the Senate. So first, the House will adjust their ranges to that of the Senate to the extent that current salary ranges are lower than the Senate. Then the House will increase the range minimums by $1,500. We will also maintain, as NCSL studies have suggested in the past, not only the width of the ranges, but also the distance between the ranges. Beginning on line 15, I'm going to have Barb Julek give some history on the next paragraph.
Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair and members, so when we had met and reviewed the budget, and one of the goals we had not only of aligning with the Senate, but also maintaining pace with inflation over the last few years. We had talked about looking back at the last 2 years to what actual inflation was compared to what we had given, and then looking present in this year to expected inflation and then looking forward. And so for this July 1st raise, we are looking back the last 2 years plus looking at the current year. And when we look back 2 years, of actual inflation compared to what we gave, the difference is over there's a 7-point difference. And then projected inflation for this year is around 4. So that creates a pool of about 11.25. When I look at a $1,500 increase, on average, that equals about 2%. Our average salary around $75,000. So that's about 2%. Depending on where you fall, you're going to get, it'll depend on where you are at. So the pool between the $1,500 increase and the 9.25 is 11.25%. And then it's in order to align with the approaches across both bodies and meet some salary goals, it is then split up with the $1,500 increase first and then the 9.25%. But that's how the funding in total was arrived at.
Thank you, Ms. Julek. Ms. Knight.
Beginning on line 21, this is a merit increase for staff. And as Ms. Julek had indicated, we did not do a merit increase in the past 2 years. So as a result, what we are doing is we are staff are eligible for a merit increase as part of a pool that is awarded to the caucus or the department of 2.5% for everyone that has been on staff from April 15th, 2023 or prior. Within this pool, supervisors based on performance have the ability to award merit increases of anywhere from 0 to 3%. In addition to that, because of the fact that we did not have the merit increases for the previous 2 years, we have some compression for staff that started in the past 1 to 2 years. As a result, any of those staff who have been employed since April 15th of 2022 are also eligible for an additional 1%. So we were trying to address this compression issue that we have. Beginning July 1, 2024, it's pretty simple. Staff are eligible for a general increase of 3%. And in addition, permanent employees are eligible based on performance who have been started with the House April 15th of 2024 or before would be eligible for a merit increase pool of 3.5%, which would result in merit increases of anywhere from 0 to 4%. Other than that, the structure of it is relatively similar to the structure that we've used in the past.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. Ms. Julek, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Okay. No, Mr. Chair.
So just to begin, I want to first thank both Ms. Julek and Ms. Knight for working very hard and collaboratively with the Senate on coming up with this proposal. The goal here, as was mentioned, that one of the goals is to try to align our staff salaries with the Senate. And in the past, we've had a bit of an arms race between the two bodies, which isn't fair to our staff. And so we've worked hard to try to make sure that we will be aligned with the Senate, which is the first the first increase that Ms. Knight noted to try to get our salaries up to match the Senate as our new base. And then appreciate also the hard work in trying to account for inflationary costs. We know that we haven't been able to keep up with inflation with our salaries to date. And so this, I think, will go a long way towards doing that. And then also trying to make sure we're being sensitive to compression issues and allowing for there to be a good salary bands as you're moving up into new promotion roles, and that will be reflected in your salary. So I think this is a very thoughtful way to approach this. And also would, as I mentioned on the last resolution, address some of the challenges that we've seen in being able to retain staff and compete with the executive branch in particular, which has still will likely be able to pay more than we do in the House. But I think this will get us a lot closer to being competitive. And we know that we're a more fun place to work anyway. So hopefully that will account for something. Questions to the R15 resolution? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, first of all, want to thank Ms. Julek and Ms. Knight for their hard work. I understand it's been quite the process. So I really do appreciate your hard work in doing everything you can. And to our staff, I mean, obviously, we have the best staff anywhere, and I support increasing their salaries. So I want to state that clearly on the record before I ask my questions. This is not directed in any way at our staff, who are honestly unbelievable. So, but I do, again, probably because I'm new and this may be a stupid question, but why does it start on retroactive to April 15th? Why not the beginning of session? Like, each of these is tied to an April 15th date, whether it's 2022 or 2023 or 2024. Why is that?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and Representative Robbins, the April 15th date, the salaries aren't retroactive. They are actually effective July 1. However, someone has to be on staff in order to be eligible for the merit increase. The April 15th date is for the merit increase, so that someone didn't start on June 28th and then are eligible for a merit increase. All staff, regardless of when they start, would be eligible for the across-the-board increase. But that April 15th date is simply a trigger for the merit increase.
I'll just ask a quick question and go back to you, Representative. So just for folks' knowledge, the merit increase is going to be determined by that staff member's supervisor based on the annual review. Is that correct, Ms. Knight?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Knight. Yes, I'm still kind of confused. I get that the merit increase is what this applies to, but why wouldn't they have had to been with us all session? Why are they eligible for it if they started April 15th?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and Representative Robbins, we try to pick a date to account for people who maybe started a little later in session, since often hiring continues into session. So that is the reason for the April 15th date.
Representative Robinson, do you have a follow-up?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Okay. Any additional questions on the R15 resolution? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The R15 resolution is adopted. Members, that is our business before the Rules Committee today. It was great to see everybody. Hope that folks are getting some time to relax in the interim and catch up with friends and family. We don't have another Rules Committee hearing planned in the foreseeable future, but we will let you know if that changes. And with that, we are adjourned.